We're up to part three of our discussion of some of the basic issues that come up in maintaining the kosher kitchen. And I think also at this juncture, I'll just remind everyone also that we have to sort of distinguish between the sort of ideal pristine conditions and the troubleshooting. So I think Rabbi Weider had once described Yoredeya to us as being Yoredeya as there's four sections of Shulchan Aruch. Probably be super clear about this. Four sections of Shulchan Aruch. Har HaChaim deals with things related to davening, to the Chagim, to Shabbos. Eben HaEzer deals with marriage. Bosh and Mishpat deals with the more civil issues, damages, injuries, etc. And Yoredeya deals with things we're allowed to do, not allowed to do, but it's a little bit of a conglomeration of different issues, including kashrus, nida, avelus, mourning, lots of sefer Torah, tzedakah. So my Rebbe described Yoredeya as being a troubleshooting manual when it comes to, specifically when it comes to kashrus, that Yoredeya tells us what the Shulchan Aruch tells us what to do in certain situations, or whether something is kosher or not kosher, but we don't set up our kitchens by reading Yoredeya and looking at all the what if situations. But obviously, the idea is to try to avoid any of the uncertainties to the best extent possible. So we've been discussing certain. Discuss a little bit the issue of mixtures, of the concept of ben yomo and eino ben yomo. What's the status? What happens? When the milchik spoon is in the pleshik pot, and whether or not the utensils have been used within 24 hours. Those are all factors. We're just discussing tonight is a little bit of a different topic, obviously very related, but a little bit different. So we're up to page 129, and we're going to talk about glass dishes and how glass dishes can be affected by dairy and meat. So what's interesting about glass, particularly for Ashkenazim, is that we deal with glass a little bit differently during the year than we do on Pesach. So the first source that's brought here, you'll notice, is actually, it's a good thing I discussed the sections of Shulchan Aruch. The first source is a Shulchan Aruch source, but it's from Or HaChaim. It's from the section of Shulchan Aruch that deals with holidays, because this halacha is being brought from Hilchos Pesach. So this halacha is going to tell us a little bit about Pesach, and we'll talk about whether the rules are different for the rest of the year.
Rabbi, the Mishnah Berurah that Chafetz Chaim wrote.
Wait, one second, one second. Sorry, go ahead, Herb.
Oh yeah, I just want to clarify what the Mishnah Berurah didn't cover. It covers only Or HaChaim, right?
Mishnah Berurah only covers Or HaChaim, so it covers Hilchos Pesach, and I'll comment on things related to kashrus that come up with Pesach, but it was not, he did not write it on Yoredeya, which is really most things that relate to kashrus. What I did show you a few weeks ago was that there was somebody named Revival Cohen, Zichrono Livracha, who wrote the Badei HaShulchan, which was meant to be a Mishnah Berurah-like
Oh, yeah.
commentary on Hilchos Kashrus and Avelos, and he really tried to do it in a similar format to the Mishnah Berurah. And so the Shulchan Aruch tells us, source 36 on page 129, a klais chuschis, that glass dishes, even if you use them on a regular basis, and even if you use them for hot food, ain't it shum hechsher, you don't have to kosher glass dishes because they do not absorb taste. It's sufficient to just rinse the dishes. So that's Rav Yosef Karo, the Sephardi Posek of the Shulchan Aruch, says that with glass dishes, you don't have to kosher them. You just need to wash them for Pesach. That said, the Ramah, reflecting Ashkenaz, what?
Lechatchila, I mean, during the year, you'd only have one set of dishes. It doesn't mean bidyev.
Here he means. Well, yeah. here we're just talking about Pesach. Let's focus on that for a second. Then we'll talk about the rest of the year. So that's what he says about Pesach. When it comes to so the Ramah says beyish machmirin those who are stringent. You can't even put glass dishes in boiling water. And that's a custom in Ashkenaz and the surrounding regions. So essentially, what we get from this is that Sfardim are allowed to kasher glass for Pesach. Ashkenazim cannot kasher the glass for Pesach. Okay. So the Sefer Kashrus explains that he says, Kelim Hasoyim Zchuchis O Derlex, Lo Niskar Dinam Batara. So what's controversial about glass and some of the Pyrex, Derlex, so those materials are not discussed in the Torah itself. So is glass like metal that it can be kashered? Or is there like earthenware that it can't be kashered at all? Okay, so we have to figure out what the pre-existing glass is not mentioned in the Torah. So from the pre-existing categories of glass or metal, so which one is it? So maybe what comes to glass, what's different about glass is that once it's finished being formed, so it's smooth and it's, you know, there's no crevices for food to get in. So it's enough to wash them carefully. So that's the discussion that the Sefer Kashrut has when it comes to glass. It says, Das HaMechaber, Kevan Shehaschuchis, Halaka Al Panah, since glass is smooth, doesn't absorb taste. And the Taz agree with this, that that glass does not absorb.
So, what about China? That seems pretty smooth once it's finished. China?
So the Torah is explicit that that China needs to that China can't be kosher, that that if China were to become impure, were to become not kosher, so it's only kosher through breaking it, right? Which means that basically you can't kosher it. That's explicit in the Torah. But
there's some disagreement about the type of China it is, because there's certain types of China that the way that they're baked, or like porcelain china, it has sort of a glass like, or bone china has like a, it's a different.
Right.
No, I have to be see-through like glass.
No, it has something to do with the process, and I don't remember explicitly anymore.
Right. No, I don't remember entirely the process, but the general concept is that earthenware can't be kosher, and that's something that's explicit in the, in the Torah.
Applies to Pesach when we're talking about one set of you could have one set of Pesach dishes.
Meaning why?
Because you have a glass set and you use it only for Pesach, but you wash it between milchiks and fleishiks. I knew some frum people that have had that one set.
Okay. So
they said it's glass. It doesn't matter. Like we use drinking glasses. We don't have milchik and fleishik drinking glass.
Okay, right? Fine. Okay. So some of us questions here. We'll address this right now in the Mishnah Halachos of Rav Menashe Klein, the contemporary posek. So here's what he has to say about glass year round. So he says, I read Kasva Poskim. This is source 38 on page 130. So we're only strict on Pesach with glass. Why? Lepisha isuro umashu. Comes to chametz on Pesach, so you're not allowed to have the smallest amount of chametz. You're not allowed to have whatsoever, right? Any amount of chametz is by definition too much. Whereas we said when it comes to issues with dairy and meat, so you know, it's not problematic if it's not enough to impart taste. If it's, you know, if it's 1 in 200, one kernel of dairy out of 1,000 kernels, not the right word, but one thing of dairy out of 1,000 meat is technically permitted. Whereas on Pesach, It's not. So during the year, glass does not pose the same problems as it does on Pesach. Fine. So he says that that's a custom. And he brings an interesting story that he heard from a particular gadol that his a particular rabbi that his wife, parents get a little bit loud in here sometimes. So there was a particular rabbi whose wife wanted to use separate glasses, and by glasses I think we mean drinking glasses, for dairy and meat. And he said to her, you know, my mother was a tzaddikus, and she, you know, has traditions going back generations, people who are righteous people. And I saw other gedolim who did not have separate drinking glasses for dairy and meat. And this is not what we do. This is not the minhag. His point that the halacha does not follow that. So when it came to drinking glasses, there's definitely no, there's no reason to separate. Whereas maybe, you know, when it comes to, if you're using, if you had something that was made from pottery, so maybe you would have, you should have separate glasses for, but for regular glass, you don't need to.
Now we're not talking about chametz anymore. Now we're
We're talking about in terms of dairy and meat. So for dairy and meat, you don't need separate glasses for dairy and meat.
Oh, okay.
If there's a case where there might be some sort of mix up, then one should be stringent. Then it goes on to say in source 39 that's specifically when it comes to that's what comes to glass, which is for drinking. But he says that when it comes to pots. So pots are made from glass, like Pyrex and lots. So even though they're glass, since they are made for cooking, when it comes to, let's say you if you're gonna put hot things on that glass, to use the same thing for dairy and meat, Chas v'shalom should not do that, even if you wash in between. So what it seems from that is that, you should not use the same Pyrex dish for both dairy and meat. You shouldn't use, you shouldn't put meat pie and lasagna, in the same pan, even if obviously they're not being cooked in that pan at the same time. But even though it's glass, this is not meant to, the leniency about not separating for, when it comes for not having separate, plates or cups for glass really applies to cold food or cold drinks. But when it comes to cooking, if you're cooking something in the oven or you're putting hot food on it, so then you should really have separate. That's what the Mishnah Lech was arguing. So Sefer Kashrus summarizes by saying that the practical custom concerning glass dishes is as follows. Sfaradim are accustomed to suffice with rinsing well, even for Pesach. Ashkenazim are leaning concerning other prohibitions aside from Pesach to kasher them, but not to use the same ones otherwise. On the other hand, concerning Pesach, they do not kasher them at all, or in cases of great need. So what he's saying is that, let's say I have glass plates that I was using for dairy and I want to kasher them for meat. So I can do that through Hagala. I can put them in boiling water and kasher them, not for Pesach, but to change the gender from dairy to meat. For Pesach, I can't even do that. But again, we would not use glass plates or pans or the like for cooking both dairy and meat. That would be a little bit for sure. All right. So the next two sources discuss whether what to do about sinks. So when it comes to sinks, so you're washing utensils. There can be hot water involved. Things could fall on the sink. So what do we do about that? So Ramosha Feinstein says that the possibility of causing a sink to be treif are very minuscule, because what would have to happen for the sink to become treif and to convey something treif, so you'd have to have hot meat directly touching the sink in the exact same spot as the hot dairy does within a 24-hour period, he says that that is maybe not entirely impossible, but a little bit far-fetched.
Unlikely.
Fairly unlikely. So he says that this is the source 41, this is the last paragraph. He says, one should ideally be careful not to wash dishes there in a manner that one rinses water from the dishes into the sink. But after the fact, it does not make sense to forbid, since there are 60 times the amount of forbidden mixture. But nevertheless, one should be stringent, ideally and certainly for Baalei Nefesh. It seems to me that people never wash in the sink itself, but on special racks for meat separately and for dairy separately. So often what happens when we wash dishes, that we're not actually putting the dishes directly on the sink, but we put them, you know, we have those like dish rack things, you know, the perforated dish racks. Right. So you have a separate one for dairy and meat.
Yeah.
So you're not, so yeah, even if something does fall onto the sink or, you know, whatever it is. So if you have a separate thing for dairy and meat, you're not usually going to have a problem. And even if they wash a metal rack, so raise the dishes up so that they don't touch the sink, even though the water is rinsed out from the dishes into the sink, there's no concern since they do not touch. So, and does it make things a little bit easier? Is it better to have two sinks? In theory, it's better. I don't live in an apartment that has two sinks, and we cannot install two sinks. And, you know, so we also have a dishwasher. So we rarely put meat dishes in our sink in the first place. But if you have a rack that's, you know, that's separating the dishes from the surface of the sink, so according to Moshe Feinstein, you really don't have a problem. And even if you did put something in the sink, the possibility that the hot dairy and the hot meat are the exact same spot and coming in contact and affecting the dishes, he says, is not as likely. The Menachas Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Weiss, contemporary of Moshe, has a different perspective. And he says that there has to be concern that people pour, you know, meat and dairy residue inside the inside the sink. There's hot water splashing, and you know, the hot water, you know, when the hot water is, you know, touching the dishes and going to the sink, so it's like pouring from a kli rishon, from a direct source. So it causes the absorption of food residue within the sink. So he says that's a concern. So he says that person who's medaktik b'masav, somebody who's careful in keeping mitzvos, should have two sinks for meat and dairy. But then he says for one for whom that's not possible, he says tzarich lizar shelo la'adiach hakein b'mas cheila atzman, you shouldn't wash the dishes directly in the sink. So you should have like a bin, like some sort of insert,
yeah,
one for dairy and one for meat that you're taking in and out. And even then, that big tub or insert, should have some sort of rack under that insert also. And on top of that, and between dairy and meat, you should clean the sink well. And you have to try to be careful to make sure that that the drain is not clogged so that the water is going directly into the drain and not filling up and touching the insert or the dishes.
This is the hot water.
Even between dairy and meat, maybe one should kosher the sink by pouring hot water from the sink. And it goes on to say that's too, again, all of that is for people who, for whom it's absolutely impossible to have two sinks, but it's proper to have two separate sinks. So,
what's the story with the hot water? I thought it has to be boiling. This is just plain hot water. What does it do to the items there?
Hot water is hot water. So, first of all, some people do wash their dishes with boiling water, or it seems to be close to boiling.
Your hands don't get burnt.
I mean, well, you know, so you use gloves. It happens, but I think again, there's different levels of hot. But it could be something could be hot without it being, something could be yad. Let's say this. Boiling water is 212 degrees Fahrenheit. Yahtzee-Lettice boat could be defined as being anywhere between 110 to 175 degrees Fahrenheit. So you could have hot enough that it matters for Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Kashrus without it being boiling water. Fine. So the Sefer HaKashrus, source 134, says that you should have two separate sinks. You should also make sure that there's like enough, you know, separation or well, he says, to have them in two separate sides of the kitchen or to have some sort of separation so that, you know, somebody asked me once about like, you know, what happens if like from one side to the other, there's a little bit of splashing. So again, b'diavad, that's not necessarily according to our motion, that's not going to be the,
there are those sinks that deal, are divided. There are two sinks that are side by side with one faucet.
Right, right.
If you have stuff on one, let's say you have your fleishik stuff piled up and you want to do something on the milk side, if the water splashes on that dirty fleishik dishes, it can flip over. So you're saying Rav Moshe says that's not to be concerned about. You don't go out of your way to do it, but...
Correct. I think from what I understood from Rav Moshe, again, I think the...
I don't know what they did in the
shape. Only if there's actually a piece of meat. He says that if it is only if there was an actual piece of meat fat under the flow and within 24 hours. So meaning like if you're just washing the actual dishes itself, then, you know, water splashes from one to another. So it's not the hot water falling directly, you know, with, you know, meat residue on it. But like, I think I did ask the Shiloh once, I think the splashing was considered to not be a problem. So the Sefer Kashrus says that you should try to have the sinks on separate sides of the kitchen. If they are right next to each other, like, you know, when you have like one sink that's really divided into two. So to have a separation, to make sure that to, so he says here that you want to have a separation to prevent and the water splashing from one to the other, and I think that's more lechatchila than b'dieved. And he says, you know, having a separate faucet is a good idea. Okay, and this is all like mahadrin and mahadrin, but not necessarily what's required technically. So, and then he says, you know, if you only have one sink, so having different racks based on Rav Moshe. Right, and try to avoid putting a hot utensil on the bottom of the sink itself. Okay. Last thing to discuss very briefly before we move on to the next topic is counters and surfaces for preparing food. Again, here we really just have a digest from the Sefer HaKashrus. But so distinguishes between the few different cases. So first of all, cutting directly on the counter is different than cutting on a cutting board. In some cases, you might be safer cutting on a cutting board, and then you don't really have to worry on these issues. But let's say one wants to cut fruits and vegetables. So, you know, so if you're doing it with a parv knife and the counter does not come in contact with hot dairy and meat, so you can really do it directly on the counter, and you could use that fruit and those fruits and vegetables for both, you know, for either dairy or meat.
Yeah.
Same thing. Even if you cut, we'll talk about davar charif, sharp fruits and vegetables like lemons and garlic and the like. So same thing applies there, right? It's assuming that the counter is essentially parv and you're using a parv knife, so you can, you know, doesn't matter what purpose you cut the fruits and vegetables for, they can be used for dairy and meat. If you have a surface that's designated for meat, so you should not cut, you know, should not cut fruit on that meat cutting board to be used with dairy. If it was not a sharp food, if the cutting board was clean and it's not in the sharp food category, so let's say you're cutting, I don't know, you're cutting carrots on a meat cutting board, and then you realize you want to use them for dairy, so if the cutting board was clean, you're going to be fine. if it was a lemon or an onion, then if it was cut on a meat cutting board, it cannot be used with dairy.
It has to be clean. You know why? Because you're going to have bacteria from the meat. And I mean, it's you're not going to have.
Okay, practically speaking, but again, talking about all the different situations that can come up.
Right.
So if you cut an onion on a dairy cutting board or on a meat cutting board, so then it gets that status. And likewise, he says, when it comes to cutting bread, so one should be careful that the bread is cut in a fashion that it's not going to become, you know, meat or dairy if you want to use it for the other genders. So when it comes to counters and surfaces, so, you know, better to avoid putting, you know, hot foods on those surfaces. If you're going to use a counter space for a lot of cutting and whatnot, so you want to be careful to either have separate counter space or to have cutting boards that help us avoid the issue.